6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Chris and Anna. Guess what? I'm Chris. She's Anna. She's back. It's not just me. You don't have to suffer through a show of me talking for 45 minutes straight on Christmas Day of all days. Like you know, you open up your stocking, out jumps Chris in his voice, and you're like, Christmas is ruined forever.
No suffering. I enjoyed it. I saved it for the plane ride back, and I enjoyed listening to it. Helped Marie.
So what you're telling me is you fired it up, you slept 7.5 hours until they announced the plane was landing, and you noticed that I was no longer talking.
No. I enjoyed it. It was good. It was nice to hear some sort of holiday memories as well.
Yeah, I put that call out to see if people would share, and I thought it was, you know, a pretty cool opportunity to get some of our listeners involved and that. And, you know, I'm kind of thinking it would be cool if we could find a way to do that more frequently. Mm-hmm. Not like, hey, what's your greatest, you know, Christmas or holiday memory, so per se, but just, you know, getting memories and involvement in that way, shape or form. I don't know how we execute on that. But our listeners are generally smarter than you and I. So I imagine they'd probably be able to come up with an idea or two. Happy New Year as well. You would wish me a Happy New Year. I wished you a Happy New Year, but now we're doing it when we're actually recording, which makes it official.
Yep. It's not real until it's recorded.
It is not. I mean, I'm pretty sure that is the law of the podcast. And we've ensured that we remain legal, at least for this calendar year. Come back in 2025. We're still around to see if we continue to remain on the good side of the law. But speaking of the good side of the law, the Vancouver Canucks are-ish. I mean, they're not, you know, going into the Department of Player Safety's purview.
Yeah,
they're playing teams who are.
Yeah, they haven't hit anyone in the face during a face-off this calendar year.
But Canucks have done what they keep doing-ish, and I say ish a lot, but you know, I think back to how I was sort of looking ahead and like, oh yeah, here's, you know, where things start to get a little interesting and they're going to go on this long road trip. And I, you know, I wonder, you know, with the Flyers in town, what that's going to be like. So we'll talk all about that when we get into Rewind, but it is still a unsettling experience being a Canucks fan.
That's one way to put it. Yeah. It's kind of like, well, don't want to get too hyped. Because, yeah, Canucks will continue to, you know, just as you're getting your feet under you, they'll just come sweeping in and be like, no, you're on the floor now.
Yeah, World Juniors are said and done, and the All-Star game is fast approaching, so we'll talk about both of those events. But Anna, how was your trip?
Yeah, it was really good, thank you. I got to see my family, which is the most important thing. Obviously the second most important thing was I got to meet my brother's cat, my new niece, so, who is a maniac. I'm just not used to kittens, I think, because she was just a lot, but she's also perfect and I love her. So that was great. Got to do some London things. The weather was trying to happen me a bit, but I powered through. No, it was really good. Thanks.
That's good.
And how was your holiday?
It was good. Baby Force had herself a good time, got to spend it with family, didn't get to experience the snow like we did a year ago, which is nice, though, you know, I say that, and when we record next week, who knows. But at least it's not happening over the course of a holiday, shutting things down and keeping family from actually coming over. But yeah, I got an opportunity to go up to the in-laws, I got to watch a little Vancouver Canucks hockey. Well, I mean, not that I went to a game. I haven't been to the Rog for, gosh, a long time. But yeah, it was a good holiday. Thanks for asking. Anywho, enough chit-chat. Let's talk about the Canucks in Rewind. As is New Year's tradition, the Philadelphia Flyers rolled into town. Unfortunately, the schedule makers did not realize that the Flyers were showing up a couple of days early.
Canucks didn't seem to realize either.
No, I mean, you think about the Vancouver Canucks in this New Year's game against the Philadelphia Flyers. I don't know the official record. I could have looked it up. I was just thinking about it, you know, over the course of the day as I'm sort of wondering what I'm going to talk about. But they don't win these games very often. And you're right. The Vancouver Canucks thought they had till Sunday and were shocked that they were playing on a Thursday night.
Yeah. I obviously watched the highlights of this after the fact because I was on the wrong time zone.
Sorry. There were highlights in this game?
Yeah, I guess. Low lights, something like that. Yeah, it was just a lame game all around, honestly. I have seen off the rails slightly, but like one time Canucks were in some terrible game where nothing happened in the first period and the NHL highlights literally had like the slate with the game, you know, Canucks versus whoever. And then it said first period, third period. Yeah, they literally did that. And it's honestly comic genius. So fair play.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a Flyers fan, you got yourself a, you know, heck of a second. That's sort of your perspective there. I mean, it was just a weird, weird game. And I think, you know, I believe Ray had mentioned it in the podcast, is that after the holiday break, it's always hard to determine who's going to come out of the gates better than others. Is it the team that's traveling? Is it the team that's at home? Is it the team that's had the longer break? Suffice to say, the Canucks were the team at home and the team with the longer break and did not bode well for them. Losing 4-1. It's like, oh, well, on to next year. Difference is that when we say that in like March of seasons past, we're not talking about next season. We're actually just talking about next week. But in a quirk again about the schedule, the Vancouver Canucks got 4 days off. 24 to 27, they play the Flyers on the 28th. They then proceed to get another bunch of days off, 4 days off, and they didn't play the Sens until Tuesday, January 2nd. And this was a game where if you happen to be a Vancouver Canucks fan, all was then right in the world. The Vancouver Canucks got things going as they should. However, yes, they won handily, 6-3. Yes, they had a 5-0 lead by the end of the first period.
Yeah. That was the opposite problem. Like, all the highlights were in the first period.
And you know, okay, the Canucks, you know, put it into cruise control. And, Claude Giroux scores in the second. It's 5-1. Who cares? And then Victor Tarasenko scores pretty darn quick in the third. And you're like, okay, that's not bad. And then he scores again late in the third period. And if you don't like that sensation as a Canucks fan, guess what? We're going to talk about another game just like it in a short moment. Thankfully, Pacesetter had scored before they had even announced the away goal. And all was right in the world. The Vancouver Canucks are going to win this game 6-3. But I am kind of now wondering, is this Canucks team finally figuring out that, one, we need to score a lot of goals and generate a lot of offense because, two, our blue line, not as good as maybe it was appearing to be up until now? Or is this just, you know, the Vancouver Canucks are finally coming to grips with reality? Their metrics have not been supporting their play as of late, or at least to this point, and now we're sort of seeing that even out.
Well, I think both things can be true, that it's not what you want to see, but also not a huge concern. You could look at it as they got their job done in the first period. They were able to take a back seat for the rest of the game. Unfortunately, that's not necessarily how you want to play. That's a dangerous way to play in the NHL if you're not playing the Ottawa Senators, where their best players are in their 30s. Yeah, I love the first period, obviously. I do think, as we saw when New Jersey came into town, like, that can get really ugly really quickly. And when you start pulling back your best, your top pairing, maybe there's not a lot left underneath.
Yeah. You're right. It could be that it is a combination of two. It's just, I am so jaded. I've been watching this Canucks team, Canuck, for so long. And I outside of that sort of period of time, you know, was it 2010, 2011, 2012, where they were never truly out of it. And, you know what, if they got a lead, it was always a safe one. I still maybe feel that the Canucks in this current iteration are never really out of it, but I am not feeling like leads are safe.
Yeah, which is bad. Like, especially when as we'll see in the next game, it's just like, okay, well, if your scoring doesn't show up and then your defense is one-dimensional, then what do you have?
Mm-hmm. And that game is the one against the St. Louis Blues, where the Vancouver Canucks kick off their heck of a road trip to start off the new year. Seven games over the course of, I think it's what, 10 nights?
Yeah.
So lots and lots of hockey. Connor Garland gets things underway pretty early. This goal, when it is scored, has me thinking, oh, they're looking to set the tone. Binnington sucks. Like, this is great. Like, everything that could be good in the world is currently good.
Yeah, and when a 5-foot-nothing player scores against, like, the most fragile ego in the NHL, you've got to love seeing that.
Yeah. The problem, however, is that unlike the game against Ottawa, where they got themselves 5 goals to then go into cruise control, the Vancouver Canucks decided they only needed 1 in this game. Mm-hmm. And when Parayko scores and ties it up in the second, you can almost see the team suddenly grip the sticks a little bit harder. Like, their play definitely changed after that goal. I felt that the Canucks became reinvested. But the opportunities were no longer presenting themselves. St. Louis was doing a heck of a job harassing the Vancouver Canucks, you know, all night long.
Yeah.
Wicked forecheck, getting in front of shooting lanes, blocking every potential shot that could possibly throw a body in front of. And so when St. Louis gets that go-ahead goal in the third period, it wasn't feeling so confident. Yet, as we know with this Canucks team, they're like, oh, we're losing now. It's the third period. Well, let's go and throw everything but the kitchen sink at the net and see what happens. And they, to their credit, tried to tie it up late.
Yeah. But like you say, it's not doing it from a position of strength. You know, if you're ahead by 2 goals, 3 goals, and they get one back and you sort of start to engage again, that's kind of, you're coming from a position where, you know, the goals have gone in and you're not panicked. And obviously Rick Tocchet's team has shown, like, they're good at going back to their systems, but yeah, it kind of showed that they just, nothing was going in. Too many shots missed the net. Too many. Like, that third period was just rough to see from that perspective. Felt like a very Midwest game of hockey. Didn't love it.
No. So, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, depending on your perspective, the Vancouver Canucks and the New Jersey Devils got the Hughes Bowl underway. This game, however, was only 2/3 full. It was missing a Hughes. The Vancouver Canucks and the Devils were not equals on the ice. And I don't mean that to disrespect the Devils. The Canucks came out to play, and they were getting completely dozed that first period.
As Canucks tend to do, like, even when Dawes had just much less NHL experience than he does now, there was still, they got a lot of tough love from him in the past.
So if you're thinking that I'm, you know, being extreme, the Canucks threw 17 shots on that net and he stopped all but one. And the one he didn't stop was due to JT Miller getting fresh with him in the crease. When the goal was scored, I'm like, JT is being pushed. And then they show the replay. JT's like set up shop. He's camping out. Dawes has got a stick.
Then he gets pushed. You know, yeah.
Like, and then you're like, okay, well, that goal won't count.
Yeah.
And but that didn't stop the Vancouver Canucks effort. It almost seemed to energize them even more. And Dawes was standing on his head, just doing absolutely everything in his power to keep his team in it. The fact that New Jersey got five shots on net shocks me because I feel that I only recall maybe two of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I know three. There was one glorious opportunity.
That's the thing, right? It's just like Thatcher Demko has nothing to do, nothing to do, nothing to do. And then it's like everything to do.
Yeah. So Canucks Devils, they go, you know, knotted up 0-0 into the intermission. And I don't know what Rick Tocchet said during that intermission, but less than a minute on the ice, Petey's got himself a goal to, you know, get that score sheet some action. 41 seconds in, Ferronik and Hughes. 3 minutes later, JT Miller scores one to atone for not interference penalty, but disallowed goal due to goaltender interference, which... Anyhow, yeah. And only you know, a minute later scores again to get a second. And, you know, the Vancouver Canucks in the course of 5 minutes in the second period have now got a 3-0 stranglehold on the New Jersey Devils. It's like, okay, this was bound to happen. Thankfully, they've got the goals now. They're still throwing shots on net. Like they end the second period with 15 shots on net, just two fewer than the first period. And because the Vancouver Canucks had been so dominant and got those three goals, New Jersey started to play a little fast and loose.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Vancouver Canucks, Thatcher Demko, I think, got a little bored. Like that, you know, in fairness, he didn't see much of the puck. And when Miller scored his goal, it kind of felt to me like it surprised Thatcher.
Yeah.
3-1. Now, okay, 3-1, great, but when all the scores near the end of the period and it's 3-2, it's like, holy smokes. I had commented on Threads, like I'm typing in my post, and I'm like, oh my goodness, having been so dominant in this game so far, how is it even possible that the Vancouver Canucks only have a one-goal lead? Thank you, Connor. Because by the time I got to the end of that statement, yeah, Connor Garland had scored.
Yeah, it's literally 12 seconds between the goals.
Yeah, so, okay, the Vancouver Canucks have a 4-2 lead. I'm feeling better, right? Third period rolls out. Petey gets another early one. A couple minutes in, Canucks now have their, you know, foot on the pedal. And when Miller scores at 11:07... you know, I'm like, okay, 5-3, Canucks, you know, to hold this one on. Only, 2 minutes later, Nico Hischier scores. It's 5-4. And the Canucks, who have been dominant for most of this game, are now the team having to call the timeout to settle themselves down. And, oh my goodness, when Dakota Joshua took that penalty...
I mean, I feel like that's happened quite a few times where Canucks have given up dumb penalties with slim leads. Like,
yeah, like
discipline is just not good.
Like, what Joshua does is he goes in for a forecheck. He gets beat. And knowing that, well, I'm here to go in and do something, I'm going to continue doing it.
Yeah.
That's the penalty. But I was more alarmed when JT Miller clearly tripped. I think it was Hughes that had the puck. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, the Canucks are going down. Two men on this.
I mean, that changes that. Like, it goes to overtime, definitely.
And no arms go up.
Yeah.
And I mean, when has this ever occurred? Like, you show the replay. You can't tell me that I'm being a pessimist here. There's nothing that JT Miller did that was legal. It was a trip.
But don't you think that Luke Hughes was his own worst enemy there? You think if he doesn't leap in the air like he's like a salmon, like he's been shot.
Maybe.
Like, because it was clearly embellishment, right? Like,
oh, sure. But then you if you're the referee, you call both and send both off. I'm still not liking it.
Not an NHL ref. Not an NHL ref. It just like doesn't happen that way. That's the logical approach. That's the rule book approach.
Oh my goodness. So when no arms go up, the Devils fans start chanting, "Ref, you suck," with, I think, full authority to do so. Again, as a Canucks fan, we're not used to not getting the calls. Like, normally that's a penalty if you're
if we're saying the rule book, it would still have just been a one-man advantage, right?
But 4-on-3 with a lot of players on the ice pulled a goaltender. Like,
don't get me wrong. Like, I think New Jersey like scoring that up all day.
Yeah, exactly. Thankfully, though, the Vancouver Canucks do kill that penalty. And Dakota Joshua, wanting to make amends for taking the dumb penalty, put in an all-star effort to get that goal. Like, JT Miller had an opportunity to shoot, and he had taken one earlier and had missed it, iced the puck. And this time he was trying to find a way to get that puck to someone else who might have the opportunity, and Joshua just muscled. I don't know who the defenseman was that was all over him. Like a pick and roll and put the goal in the net, or like, the puck in the net.
Honestly, like, do you think that JT Miller thought that about it in a way that's like a tone? Like, here you go.
No.
I mean, if he thought about it for a hot second, he could have had a hat trick. But,
the thing was, is I think Miller had already had that opportunity and it didn't go well for the team. And I think he realized the position that he was in the ice, like, he didn't have a clear lane. Yeah. He would have taken a pretty, you know, good shot. And I think he was like facing almost like backwards at the time. Like, he had sort of been bounced around to keep possession.
I think you're right. But if the player isn't the size and physicality Dakota Joshua is, his is worse position.
He is, true. But I credit JT in making the play that's best for the team in that position, not the play that's best for JT. Yeah. And I think this is now a Jimothy Timothy maturity moment.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's more just like, yeah, I agree. Like, it was a mature move. It was more just like, he didn't even think about, oh, I could get a hat trick here. Or, like, I suggested that, oh, Dakota Joshua just took a penalty here. I think it was, it was just like, oh, my angle's off. Like, let me pass it. But
regardless, the Vancouver Canucks get a 6-4 win. And you are apt to say, a win's a win. They don't paint a masterpiece on a score sheet.
Something
along those lines. I'm an old man. I don't remember these things.
Yeah. I mean, this is a Dan Hamhuis quote, so that's where it comes from.
Vancouver Canucks, in the course of the 2 weeks since our last episode, are batting 500, if you could take a bat to the ice. They have 2 wins, 2 losses, and they continue their fun road trip. With a Monday nighter against the New York Rangers, followed by a Tuesday nighter against the New York Islanders, a Thursday nighter against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and a nice Saturday afternoon special against the Buffalo Sabres.
I don't like it.
No,
I don't like it. Like, Penguins don't look great right now, but, like, I don't like it. Like, Rangers look just so hot this year. I don't like going to play the Islanders on a back-to-back, and I don't like Saturday morning hockey, and Canucks don't either. It's gonna be a tough week.
You know, I mean the Rangers are definitely the best of the bunch. That's not just a matter of looking at the standings. The Rangers are a pretty good hockey team. I genuinely think the Vancouver Canucks are up to play them. I think that's the game. If the Canucks are going to get a win out of the two, they win that one. They lose to the Isles. Mm.
So, I mean, we didn't really talk about it too much in the New Jersey game, but the Lotto line.
Reunited.
Yeah. Except apparently not well, the lotto line, but whatever, Drance.
Can
watch
I?
The games, Drance.
He's too smart for his own good.
Yes, agreed.
Petey, like, I was actually thinking about this in the St. Louis game. Like, what has Petey done?
I know.
To, and I'm not trying to disparage, was it Lafferty and who else did he have? Because
McCabe,
yeah. I was going to say, because Kuzmenko had been benched.
Banished.
And so I'm like, man, it's not like, if you think about the Sedins, you could, you know, put a pylon with them and the pylon's going to get an opportunity to score. Petey is just Petey. He doesn't have.
Yeah, he's just one guy.
Petey two. And so he's got more than pylons with him. But we're not talking about, you know, top tier players here. It was nice to see Besser and Miller with him, though that now requires Garland and his line to continue to produce as it has been.
Which they do. The first line, baby.
But we're seeing eggs starting to be consolidated into baskets here. We haven't got to all eggs in one basket, but there's fewer baskets.
But yeah, like that undoubtedly is the third line, the pseudo line. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we're just going back now, but like the fourth line, the binary code line, as I was referring to it, because it was Niels, and like nil, yeah. Anyway,
who's the one?
Well, I mean, the one person who's not a Neil.
Okay. Earlier, I said that Drance is a little too smart for his own good. Anna,
there's no arguing that.
You're maybe trying to become too smart for your own good.
Yeah.
You're smart. Honestly,
yeah, it's true.
It's getting in the way here.
The Nearly Neils line is probably a better name. I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, the Canucks media's obsession with Nearly Neil. So funny. They get so excited whenever he performs. Yeah. But, like, that fourth line, woof. Like, and I love Nils Höglander, as you know, but, like really, the Kuzmenko wasn't a better option than Linus Karlsson, who's having an okay season in the AHL.
Kuzi's in the doghouse.
Yeah.
Like, if we think back to the Vancouver Canucks, is it there? I haven't been to a game. Is the whole, like, you know, Saturday Night Live intro video they did the actual intro, or was that just a one-off thing?
I guess so, because it's the
Kuzi's in the bar and looking all trendy and stuff.
It's the, like, fighting the AI, like, cyberborgs, whatever, is the intro video.
Well, I haven't been to a game in, like, forever. I think it was the Pan Flute when I last went, I loved. Big fan. Might have been the only one. Big fan.
Yeah, I just will say that, like, just briefly on Kuzmenko, like, you would have to think that he's, like, I know he's the coach. He is not the general manager, but, like, if he is no longer in the Canucks' plans, like, him getting benched is not the best approach, but
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. What were we talking about? Oh,
well, we were going to talk about the points that the Vancouver Canucks may acquire over the course of the week. I said they're going to get a 2 out of the Rangers and they're going to lose 2 against the Isles.
Mm-hmm. And then, how do you see? Well,
do you agree? Is that a, like, yes?
Well, I'll go next.
Okay, well then, so to me, they get 2 out of the Rangers, they lose 2 against the Islanders, they get 1 out of the Penguins, they get 2 out of the Buffalo Slugs.
Okay.
I mean, they might, I don't know, is the Buffalo Slug jersey still a thing or is it long gone?
I don't know.
Do you know the jersey I'm talking about, the logo?
Is it the like one the with the weird
buffalo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I the head, it. But then it's got like an arrow at the end and so it looks like a slug.
Okay, yeah, I hate that one. Especially because the colors just look weird. The red and stuff. Anyway, I say 0 points versus the Rangers.
Ooh.
2 against the Isles.
Okay.
2 against the Pens.
So you and I split the difference.
Yeah. 2 against the Pens. You said 1, right?
Just 1.
And 1 against the Buffalo Sabres because they're going to wake
up. Okay, so same number of points.
Yeah, they're going to get real sleepy on Saturday because that's how Canucks do with morning hockey.
But they are on the road, and it's not the first.
Or early afternoon hockey.
You know, like early afternoon on the road. Like, they've been on the road for quite some time.
They just don't seem to learn. I mean, also, yeah. It's MLK Day, I guess, next Monday.
Well, the 15th, yes. So you think 1 p.m. in the afternoon Pacific is early.
Yeah. But I'm guessing that's the reason behind the 10 a.m. start on a Monday. But it's just like, shouldn't there have to be both teams be American teams before you start playing at 10 a.m.? Or 1 p.m.? Yeah, 1 p.m. Eastern, I guess. Rough.
Yeah. Well, regardless, we'll talk about that game and whatnot next week. We'll also review the week that was and whether or not our prognostication of a 5-point week actually happens.
Huh.
Yeah. But we're going to take ourselves a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Chris and Anna.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? And that? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He didn't play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
World Junior Tournament, done deal. United States, champions. Vancouver Canucks got a whole lot of good-looking Swedes, and I mean that in the sense of the player
on the ice.
Who plays on the ice.
Yep, not the children.
No. I mean, I say things, and then I'm like,
just like, and oh, it's the World Juniors.
But I'm lazy.
Yeah. I mean, agreed, right? Just like, the U.S. won, because boo, and they just like to spoil parties, but like, the Swedish team were, you know, the people's champions, so.
Well, I mean, the Swedish fans, they were into it. Like, when Sweden was beating Team Canada, you know, they were appropriating the Canadian goal song.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, the fans were singing it.
What is it? Is it still Hey Baby?
Yeah, and the Swedish fans were like, Hey Baby, ooh.
Fair play, that's funny. Like,
right? And I'm like, that's top-tier troll.
Yeah. Yep, that's very European of them. It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't watch any full games. I just saw lots of
clips. Was it not televised in the UK?
It wasn't, weirdly. But, like,
you could not watch it on the BBC. Or listen to it on the BBC.
No, you couldn't.
Do they have, like, a BBC 8? Do they call it the Ocho?
No. I think it only goes up to 4 on the TV. Isn't it 5?
Oh, I was going to say, like, radio, I think it's 5.
Oh, 6.
Isn't it?
There's radio 6, oh, okay. Yeah. I think that's it on the radio. But then there's all these other ones, like World Service, Asian Network, all these other things. Anyway.
Yeah.
I saw lots of clips, but Lekkomäki just has a shot on him. He has a hockey brain on him. It was just, like, so fun to see. EP40 had some good... Yeah, DPD, repeat, whatever we're calling him.
2PD.
Yeah. He looked decent, and Tom Willander didn't do anything dumb, which is probably, like, and that's not an insult to Tom Willander, just more like, he's young, like, that's kind of what you want to see, is like a uneventful, quiet tournament.
Mm-hmm. Lekkomäki got the MVP. And, you know, to put things into perspective, he was not on the winning team.
Yeah.
That's how good he was in relationship to the actual tournament, which, you know, shout out to the World Juniors, the IIHF, which I'd rather say it's the World Juniors, not the IIHF.
Yeah.
For recognizing that an MVP need not be on a winning team.
I know. Show some imagination, at least. Like, side note, I watched a few of Cam Robinson's videos. that he was going around interviewing people, which was cool, mm-hmm. friend of the show. And he was asking people who their favourite player at the tournament was, and a lot of people said Lakamaki. The Swedes put way less, like, mayo, way less English, however you want to say it, like, on his name than all the, like, Canadians and stuff were just, like, trying to give it this authentic pronunciation, but it seems like the Swedes is quite straightforward. So, I don't know, check it out and just see if you agree with me on that, but yeah, I feel like we probably made it make a meal of his name. Hmm. And it doesn't need to.
Yeah. Team Canada, not in the final, not in the bronze medal game either. Did not make it past the quarters.
Do you want to read out the rundown at this
point? Cue for Chris. Are Canada crap now?
Well.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Canada is crap. I think our, you know, years of going into the World Junior and just showing up and mm-hmm. being the dominant team are over because the world has gotten that much better.
Right.
Right. You look at Czechia, that is a solid team, right?
Yeah.
In eons past, that was the role that Finland played. Finland's now a good yeah. to great team, right? Like you're yeah. seeing this Finland's elevation. Like
on the upper tier now.
If I were to go and compare the program that Team Canada operates from to, let's say, those of our, you know, friends south of the border, I think Canada has started to fall behind the U.S. Like the United States development program is a machine. It's yeah. not flawless. Like there are players who get ignored because they're not part of the program per se or playing through the collegiate system. Regardless, I think Hockey Canada sort of needs to evaluate how they can continue to develop these players in the high-performance setting as a cohesive team.
Yeah, and we'd be remiss to not to mention the ongoing scandals that Hockey Canada has, failing to deal with. We still await their report.
It'll be dealt with when it gets dealt with, and we may or may not be told that it was dealt with.
Yeah, but, like, as a result of that, like, I'm not saying there's a direct correlation, but, like, way less people. The participation is way down in programs across the country. It's almost, if we're to look at a silver lining, it's that you can't keep sweeping things under the rug if the performance on the ice is not even there. So it's just, like, ugly all around, so maybe they have to take a larger stock of everything. We'll see if that actually happens and comes to fruition. But yeah,
the registration being down, I think, is a combination of one, the fact that there is so much opportunity for kids to take part in activities now mm-hmm. that hockey isn't going to be number one by default or the first choice. Two, it is costly. Like there
so
are
expensive.
There are significant prohibitions for people who would otherwise not be in a position to get their kids enrolled. Like I'm fortunate that my daughter's sport of choice for the winter is soccer. That's not to suggest it's an affordable sport, but comparative to hockey, it certainly is.
Yeah, I mean, I just very anecdotally went to get look for secondhand hockey skates yesterday. To replace my previous ones, which I realized were a size too small. And I paid $30 for those skates, like, 3 or 4 years ago. Like, the cheapest that was there was, mm-hmm. like, $70 for, like, secondhand skates. And it's like, oh, wow. Like, imagine just, like, this is, like, I only need skates because I'm not playing hockey, I'm just skating. Yeah, imagine just, like, the amount of equipment, the registration fees, not to mention if your kid's actually good and you're, like, driving around to tournaments, like, how do you do that with two working parents? Like,
yeah. Well, and that was sort of going to be the next thing that I was going to bring into the picture is that, you know, the concept of a, you know, single income family or household is not prevalent anymore. There are most households, I would imagine, are dual income.
Yeah.
And in the real world, it is not simply a matter of, oh, I got to take time off of work and get, you know,
yeah,
you know, so-and-so to their hockey game or practice on the other side of town. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, lucky I don't think you could do that back then. Side of town.
Right? It's just a difficult thing. And then on top of that, you have everything else that I think parents are evaluating, whether it be the hockey culture. And, you know, I've not played hockey, so feel free to tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. But as a parent, my perception is important as to whether or not my daughter gets involved in something. And if I feel this way, and I'm a guy who has grown up on hockey, loves hockey, I have a podcast about hockey, and I would tell you I would not want my daughter involved.
Yeah. I mean, but like,
I'm pretty confident I'm not the only one you have to worry about.
Uh-huh. And just hockey culture, I think that covers a manner of things. It covers the sort of, yeah, the sexual assault scandals that they've had, like the stories you hear about racism in hockey, but also the safety issue, right? Like, there's all these, I believe it was it Kennedy Request had talking about just this week about like three junior players that are suing for like the lack of treatment and care they got and the encouragement they were given to fight in hockey and the head injuries that they've suffered as a result. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. But it's reality is crazy. Uh-huh. Isn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, like registration way down, and we may see a while before that, you know, affects in any way the elite level of player. But like, Canada was just so, they've just become accustomed to having this huge talent pool to pull from. Like, I mean, it's still like, they're still gonna have a lot of people and a lot of elite players, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's not the same as it was.
Yeah. Like I was going to say, well, the talent pool is still huge. Yeah. In fact, I don't think that has shrunk. It's that other programs have become just as powerful, if not better.
Yeah.
An additional thing, though, is that we have to take into consideration that World Juniors will continue to operate in such a way that they come through Canada on the reg. One, because we pack the barns with fans. And the IIHF likes money. But two, Team Canada tends to play better at home. Not to suggest they don't play well, I was going to say overseas, but sometimes down in the States. It's that crowd does seem to energize the kids.
Yeah, that's a human thing, for sure. Before
we take another quick break, before we dive into the F word, trade deadline is coming up, and the rumor mill suggests that Vancouver Canucks want to be one of those teams that gets in on things before the deadline ramps those prices through the roof. I don't recall the Vancouver Canucks genuinely being in a position where they could be buyers. Yes, I know the previous regime thought they were buyers every year.
Yeah, but genuinely, that's right. The key word.
The hot rumors that the Vancouver Canucks are looking at primarily depth on the blue line. Chris Tanev, for instance, has shown up in the mix. You would put down that Jake Guentzel from Pittsburgh might be a player that the Vancouver Canucks are interested in. My question to you, can the Canucks afford these players?
It is a good question. It's a valid question. Like, they have to offload somewhere, not just from a point of view of, like, balancing out the team, but yeah, from a financial, from a cap point of view. And that's where it gets interesting, because, like, there's no point loading up if you're letting a significant piece go. You wonder if names like Paul Colson, definitely would be out there as a potential trade bait. Yeah. I mean, this is all theoretical. Jake Gensel has a 12-team no-trade list, and it's understood that Vancouver is on it, as he does not want to go. I hope someone knows what his no-trade list is, otherwise we'll end up with another Dadonov situation. But yes, and then, but people are saying, if asked, he might waive that and come to Vancouver. Because you do wonder if it's like, well, if Pittsburgh don't want him anymore, and like either Pittsburgh are going on one more run, or they're donezo. And if Pittsburgh are willing to let him go, like, Canucks look legit this year, wouldn't you give that a shot?
Yeah, I don't, obviously don't know the reasons as to why a player would put a particular team on the no trade. I mean, yes, I do. There's a lot of pot reasons. Taxes, distance from family,
media,
whether the team's good, media, all that jazz. Yeah. But I do think knowing the front office and having those existing relationships, if there's something you like, knowing the coach, you know, I think there is some value there. So you're right. Maybe there's the opportunity to potentially look at waiving it. But then, you know, the counter to this is that the Vancouver Canucks also have a player who has been rumored to be on the way out in Andre Kuzmenko.
Yeah.
Kuzmenko has a 12-team modified no trade. And, you know, that would probably require, you know, I think he's a piece that gets moved, but would require it to go to one of the teams that would be interested in having him, can afford him, and two, not being on that 12-team list.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't want to go play with Gino in Pittsburgh.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
But that's the thing. It's kind of like, if Pittsburgh let Jake Gensel go, it's because they think they're done, rebuild starts. Or you can't imagine they're like gearing up for a cup run by letting Jake Gensel go, but yeah, like letting that depth forward go. Well, like scoring depth, I mean, like, which Canucks need.
They do. I mean, what does Pittsburgh think they're in, though? Right, like, I know, that also plays like into the picture. They're kind of a I don't know if they're a bubble team or they're a window team right now.
Sorry for my deep sigh on the mic. Yeah. I mean, to me, I think they're past it. Like, the window is shutting on their fingers. But it's Sidney Crosby, still Sidney Crosby. He may not be the kid anymore, but he can still lead a team. Yeah. To me, I would say, like, it's too late, but I don't know.
Chris Tanev, the other name, he also has a 10-team no trade. He's also $4.5 million, which the Canucks, like, they just don't have room. You know, I think they have like $500,000 in cap space due to LTIR. Like, they're in that position where they have essentially pennies to spend. Any player that they were to send or players will have to essentially account for that contract. And it would have to be guaranteed to be at least a roster player that comes off. Yeah. I don't know if Calgary is a team that would be looking at the Vancouver Canucks roster and wanting to, you know, play with in regards to what the Canucks are willing to give up.
Yeah.
So then you have to consider picks. And I'm still not in the sense of mind that the Vancouver Canucks give up picks. I think I want to be a little more secure in knowing that this team has figured things out. More than just one season.
And it's hard, right? Because they gave up so many picks when they were not in a position to do that. Mm-hmm. So we might feel differently if during those leaner years we had accumulated more picks.
Anyhow, we'll be talking about this every episode between now and the trade deadline, as this podcast is apt to do. But before the trade deadline comes, we have one more segment, the F word, and you'll hear it next.
He liked to say the F word.
Oh, then get the f*** here then. Okay, see ya.
He's going to have the F word on it.
I wish I could give you a f***ing explanation about it. I can't.
You f*** out of here.
You said the F word, Dad.
You called me the F word.
I like how changes to the All-Star game is an F-word segment. Is that just because we have three segments and you're like, I'd like to talk about this. I don't know where it fits. Let's throw it in the F-word. Or are you seriously all riled up about the fact that the All-Star game changes are as they are?
So
like you're going to have a draft, you're going to have a reduced number of players involved in the skills competition and all the jazz.
I think you usually know when I get annoyed at something during the week because I'll throw it in the rundown by itself. So, because, yeah, to peek behind the curtain, I usually do the rundown day of.
Yeah, no, this one showed up like Thursday.
Yeah. So I am going to sound like a broken record here, I'm sure, because I know I talked about this last year. But every time the All-Star rosters get announced, like, I get mad at people getting mad. And so, like, this is not about the changes to the All-Star game. One, I love the return of the player draft. I think that's an excellent idea. That was some of the funniest, like...
Yeah, but Phil Kessel isn't around to get drafted last.
It's true.
And win a car.
Yeah. But, like, that was fun. Like, I literally would watch it after the fact when I was living in the UK because I found it so entertaining. And we're just talking about hockey players. It's a low bar. Like, having them being relaxed, maybe bar is the operative word, because, yeah, them getting
drunk. Will there be drinks? Because that generally was what made the draft in previous years entertaining.
Exactly. I think they should. As long as it's just, like, you just got to have the balance right. But yeah, so I love the return of the draft. Like, anything to get, like, is back to throwing sticks either side. Like, that's fun. It's like kids' games. The skills competition, I don't love as much that. I don't like that change, but I'm not mad at it. Like, the $1 million, sure, it's good to have incentive. But I liked all the goofy games, especially the ones that, like, played to their location, like the solitaire in Vegas and stuff like that. But I understand if you're going to an All-Star game, you don't want to be spending half the skills competition staring at a screen in the arena whilst they go around outside and it's hard to film and like it's awkward to get small talk. So like I get it. I don't love the change, but I'm fine with it.
Well,
yeah.
If you know, for our listeners, there have been actually quite a few changes if we think about it in a broader perspective. Changing back to how the players are selected, as we already talked about, there is a draft. But the skills competition, instead of all the players sort of just milling around on the ice and eventually a handful of them come out and they compete in different events, it's going to be like split into like a much smaller number of players competing in multiple events. And after those players, the small number of players compete, I think after it's like five or six events, it gets knocked down to like from 12 to 8, then to like 6. They're also changing some of the actual skill events. Like there's one where the players will go into a shootout and they get to pick the goaltender. Like the
That could be funny.
Like ranked, so like whoever's in first with the number of points they've acquired up to that point, they get to pick like so and so, and I think like that's going to add some personality. There'll be definitely some interest in there. If I'm a goaltender though, and I'm sitting there like I'm the one being picked.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what's funny. Like we could use a little spice, right? Like, and honestly, I do get it because you get like random players like competing in hardest shot and you're just like, this player is a good player. He does not have a hard shot. He's a young player, so they made him do it. Yeah. Stuff like that. So it will be, like, interesting to have it more focused, even though I think it's maybe just drafted by, like, an idea come up with by Connor McDavid so he can win $1 million, but that's okay.
32 players have been picked. We get to pick an additional 12. Quinn Hughes was the player picked for the Vancouver Canucks, which if Quinn Hughes wasn't automatically picked, it would have been quite shocking considering he's been part of their All-Star Game promotional material here in Canada on Sportsnet. Like, all the players in the ad were picked, so right. The fix is in. The Quinn is also the logical choice. We get to vote, and what's interesting is the Vancouver Canucks have listed who they want you to vote in. That being Thatcher Demko, JT Miller, and Elias Pettersson. But if you go to the NHL website, you can vote for you can
pick anyone.
Any Canuck. Yeah.
You can pick any player in the league. So, I mean, so here comes my rant, which I'm sure listeners are familiar with if they've listened to our podcast for more than a year. Sorry, but, like, I don't understand the outrage. Like, people spend, like, months of the year, like, whenever the All-Star game is on, people say, oh, like, it's a gimmick, it doesn't matter, this isn't important, this isn't real hockey, this is about for the kids. And yet when it actually comes around to the All-Stars being selected, it's like, why isn't it best on best? This should be, like, the pinnacle of the sport. Like, it's not the Olympics. If I'm not a child, but I love the All-Star game, and if during Canucks lean years they didn't get a player at the, like, All-Star game, I'll be mad. Like,
yeah, no, like, I have, I understand when someone suggests if you call it an All-Star game, it should only be All-Stars. I understand that. However, that's not what the event is meant to be. The naming could maybe be adjusted.
Sure.
If it's a semantic issue to people.
Dictionary fans among us. But, like, I went a bit, like, gung-ho and laser-focused on Columbus for no reason. But, like, on my tweet. But, like, really, just if you're a fan of a terrible team, but you get, like, your one good player gets to go to the All-Star game and have, like, you get some fun for a weekend, like, don't take that off children. Don't take that off me. When the Canucks were bad, I enjoyed having, like, Petey or Brock go. Yeah. But, like, I'm using all my 10 votes every single day to vote, like, all Canucks in.
Well, like, the problem is you have to vote for four goaltenders, not just two. So I picked, I can't remember who it was, not Jake Allen, but the other two from Montreal.
Oh, Montembeau and Montembeau. Like, do you see his save, by the way? That was a crazy save in the shootout. But yeah, like, I think I just pick Canucks as much as possible and then random players I like. But yeah, this is not best on best. This is what's the most fun and for the most people. And that's having representatives from every team there. I'm sorry, but, like, also, if you're a bad team, your players are probably, like, more likely to be funnier, so.
Is Frank Vetrano a funny guy?
He has a funny haircut.
He does. I mean, and I think his name was one of the ones that I had seen show up in social media from the Anaheim Ducks. Like, I will admit, I had no clue who he was. I don't think I'd ever heard his name.
Oh, wait.
Where he is, like, if I go through and look at the names of others that are coming out of the West, most I recognize.
I mean, Frank Vetrano, I do know well, mainly because the first few times I heard his name, I believe in his previous stop, which was Columbus, maybe? I thought they were saying Frank from Toronto. And then I got really disappointed that he's not even Canadian, but that's why I like Frank Vetrano. But yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, Trevor Zegras can't go every year. John Gibson's too old. He'll get broken. Don't. Did you see, by the way, the Bjorkstrand video?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like, Kraken rarely make a social media misstep, but I think putting out that video of his underwhelmed reaction to being selected was maybe a bit of a misstep. Like, why did they record that?
On purpose.
Maybe.
But, like, that's, you know, the Kraken do things different. Maybe that was the intent.
Maybe that was it.
You know, known all-star Tom Wilson representing the Washington Capitals. Likely never to win the Bing Trophy, but...
Yeah, I mean,
an all-star. If there is a player that could get suspended out of the all-star game, put the money on that guy. I'm not encouraging you to bet, but bet on Tom Wilson.
It's true. But, like, I just love how, like, yeah, people will be outraged that it isn't the best players going, and then they'll, in the same breath, being like, yeah, what a good story John Scott was. Like,
oh.
Like, it was, but
vote
just,
for Rory.
Yeah, that doesn't happen if you don't let every team pick a representative.
I would actually, if everyone got voted in, I would actually be completely fine if the Vancouver Canucks didn't send anyone. But, like, what was the name of the guy that, you know, got the dub over the Toronto Maple Leafs and happened to be the E-Bug, and he got sent to the All-Star game?
David
Ayres.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go, because the fans voted him in. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I mean, Zibanejad?
Granted, the NHL wouldn't want to be...
No, not Zibanejad. No, who's the Latvian player? He used to play for Minnesota. He just got the whole of Latvia to vote for him, and... Why am I... It begins with Zed. It's not Zibanejad. It is a different player. Anyway... Listeners are screaming whilst listening to this.
Yeah, all I know is that the Vancouver Canucks get another name in the mix. It might be Petey.
Yeah.
Or Demko. Actually, I think the Demko has a better opportunity because when it comes to goaltenders, there are fewer teams. Like, I think people will vote for a goaltender on an opposite team, another team, than they will a skater.
Yeah. It's true. And people tend to not...
for Casey DeSmith, so...
Yeah. And it's also, like, it's the age. We are between, like, the golden age of goaltenders, right? You'd say. Like, Vasilevsky, who's not at the peak of his powers. Still Vasilevsky, but, like, I don't know if there's another goalie that's, like, gonna be, like, old star, he has to be there.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about the goaltenders, though, in the pre-selection is that there are probably some goaltenders who didn't get the nod because their team already had a pick.
Yeah. Them's the breaks, yeah. But, yeah, also, my apologies to Zemgus Girgensons that I forgot his name.
Well, he's offended.
Thanks, Google.
As is Latvia.
And then I also remembered that Teddy Bluger is also from Latvia. There you go.
He is?
Yeah. Well, I didn't remember. He came up when I Googled Latvian hockey players. But yes, it is true. Theodore Bluger is Latvian. There you go. Yeah.
The more you know. Speaking of the more you know, we are at the end of our first show of the 2024 calendar year. And I would be remiss if I didn't give a massive shout out to Anna's mom. Why? Because Anna's mom re-upped and subscribed for another season of our show through Buy Me a Coffee, or as Anna and I like to call it,
Buy Me a Pint,
which allows us to ensure that we record a show and have a means to fund the cost to do so. If you want to be like Anna's mom, you can go to support.c4podcast.com. You can sign up on an annual basis like she does, or alternatively, you can throw a couple of bucks our way. Any amount is appreciated. There's also the option of subscribing to a month-to-month and committing to that on a recurring basis. The choices are yours, but again, be like Anna's mom. I think we should have like an ad spot.
Can I just give a quick disclaimer? Because I know she will listen to this. She said, when I spoke to her today... Say hi to Chris for me, but do it off air, because I don't think she likes the spotlight.
Hi, Anna's mom.
Yeah, so, Mom, I didn't bring it up.
Okay, in fairness, I had planned to do this because I would hurt just like I would anyone who supports the show.
It's all good. I just want to, like, make sure I'm not blamed here.
No, no, it wasn't. It had absolutely nothing to do with Anna. It was not in the rundown. This is all me. And I, you know, I don't think I've had an opportunity to meet your mom.
No, but I mean, you and I haven't seen each other in a long time, like face to face.
Fair play.
So, yeah.
Well, last year.
Oh, no. Yeah. Also, we did go to the Whitecaps game a couple months ago.
We did. Never mind. Where you were telling people off.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. Good for me. Mm-hmm. But yes, though, hopefully it will happen at some stage. She is coming back in March, which is exciting.
Well, I look forward to having a pint with Anna and Anna's mom. Any final words of wisdom for our listeners this week, Anna?
It's a new year. But I just want to say to our listeners, really appreciate you. And I'm excited for what this rest of 2024 will bring in Canucks hockey, but also in life. And, like, if you have all these New Year's resolutions, you know, take it easy on yourself. If you are saying you're going to exercise every day and you miss a day, that's fine. Keep going. If you're, like, doing Dry January and you have a single drink, that's fine, too. Like,
there's always February.
It's a shorter month. I mean, it's 29 days, but it's still shorter.
Oh, is it leap year this year?
Uh-huh. Huh. There you
go. It's going to throw my daughter off, let me tell you.
Yeah.
She watches the calendar like a hawk.
That's great. But yeah, what I'm saying is, unless you're the Vancouver Canucks, like, take it easy.
I don't really got any final words, though I want to piggyback off of what you had said when it comes to resolutions, is that instead of resolving to do something all the time, focus on streaks. So commit to doing something for this many times in a row. And if for some reason it doesn't happen, you can always start the streak over. And if you do that, you'll eventually find that the streak turns into routine. And I'd like to claim that as science as my own. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with something I saw on social media that only just came back to mind based on you talking about resolutions.
Between us, we have like a full brain.
Well, 3/4 to you, 1/4 to me.
I didn't say how it's divided up.
Okay. More like 4/5, 1/5. Got it.
Saying nothing.
On behalf of Anna, A4Size03, myself, Chris, at LifeForce, you can find the podcast on X at TheC4Podcast or over at Threads at TheRealC4Podcast. And as always, C4Podcast.com. But with all of that said, we out.